It's the Feast of the Holy Innocents and the Octave of Christmas. Welcome to today's Christmas Cast. This is Father John Zilsdorf. From the Gospel according to Matthew. Herod, seeing that he had been tricked by the Magi, was exceedingly angry, and he sent and slew all the boys in Bethlehem and all its neighborhood who were 2 years old or younger, according to the time that he had carefully ascertained from the Magi. From Advent to Epiphany by Patrick Troedek. Let us return to Bethlehem to venerate the holy innocents. Let us go to meet them to draw lessons from their unjust but glorious death. As St. Augustine says, so much iniquity abounded against these blessed children, so much also were poured forth on them graces and heavenly blessings. Those whom the impiety of Herod snatched from the breasts of their mothers, who nursed them still, are justly called the flower of the martyrs, flowers blossoming in the midst of the cold of infidelity. They were put to death for Jesus, Father Emmanuel tells us, and Jesus gave them eternal life. The infant Jesus is glorified by the blood of these holy innocents, who have the honor of dying for Jesus who will die for them and for everyone. If the angels of heaven could envy us in anything, it would be that we are able to suffer for Jesus. They are not able to. They have the merit of innocence, of perfect purity. They do not have the merit of suffering. God has revealed this to us sinners, and here are children who are able not only to suffer, but even to die for the honor of God. Happy children, how beautiful is your lot. Pray, Jesus, for us, and obtain for us to be able to suffer something for him. From Sketches of Jewish Social Life, The Temple, Jesus, the Messiah, by Alfred Edersheim. It could not be that these magi should become the instruments of Herod's murderous designs, nor yet that the infant Savior should fall a victim to the tyrant. Warned of God in a dream, the wise men returned into their own country another way. And warned by the angel of the Lord in a dream, the Holy Family sought temporary shelter in Egypt. Baffled in the hope of attaining his object through the Magi, the reckless tyrant sought to secure it by an indiscriminate slaughter of all the children in Bethlehem and its immediate neighborhood, from 2 years and under. True, considering the population of Bethlehem, their number could only have been small, probably 20 at most, but the deed was nonetheless atrocious. And these infants may justly be regarded as the proto-martyrs, the first witnesses of Christ, the blossom of martyrdom, flores martyrum, as Prudentius calls them. But of two passages in his own Old Testament scriptures, the evangelist sees a fulfillment in these events. The flight into Egypt is to him the fulfillment of this expression by Hosea, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." In the murder of the innocents, he sees the fulfillment of Rachel's lament over her children. The men of Benjamin, when the exiles to Babylon met in Ramah, and there was bitter wailing at the prospect of parting for hopeless captivity, and yet bitterer lament as they who might have encumbered the onward march were pitilessly slaughtered. Those who have attentively followed the course of Jewish thinking and marked how the ancient synagogue, and that rightly, read the Old Testament in its unity as ever pointing to the Messiah as the fulfillment of Israel's history, will not wonder at, but fully accord with St. Matthew's retrospective view. From Meditations for Each Day by Antonio Cardinal Bacci. There are 24 hours in a day, 8,760 in a year. How have you spent all the hours which God has given you in the past? How do you intend to use the hours which he will give you in the future? When you examine the past, you will find much to regret. Perhaps you have spent many hours in sin, in idle gossip, in useless or dangerous pastimes, or in innumerable business transactions, all of which will contribute nothing toward your eternal salvation, which should be your main concern in life. How much time have you spent thinking of God, your Creator and Redeemer? How many hours have you devoted to prayer, thanksgiving, and penance? How many have you spent in apostolic work on behalf of your neighbor? It may be that the service of God and your spiritual welfare have been so far been the least of your worries, on which you have expended no more than the few odd moments left over from your other preoccupations. You are well aware, nevertheless, that the purpose of life is to know, love, and serve God. You know that you ought to offer Him all your thoughts, affections, and actions, for He alone can make you happy. This does not mean, of course, that we are obliged to spend all our hours engaged either in prayer or in penance or in apostolic work. God does not demand this much. The bow, which is extended too far, will snap. We need rest, sleep, and recreation. But the most pleasant hours should be those which we dedicate to the love and service of God. These hours, moreover, which we devote to our work, rest, or enjoyment, should be spent in the presence of God. From time to time we should think of Him and speak to Him. We should love also to interweave our conversations in a natural manner with spiritual reflections for the edification of our neighbor. Let us now contemplate the fact that our eternity can depend on a single hour. Within an hour the repentant thief was converted and gained heaven. In 1 hour, Mary Magdalene, St. Paul, and many other saints finally yielded to the grace of God and set out on the road to sanctity. There are vital hours in our lives, too. It will be disastrous for us if we ever let the hour of grace slip away neglected. Let us listen when God calls us, and let us be generous with Him as He has been infinitely generous towards us. If we behave in this manner, we need never fear the hour of death. It will still be the hour on which our eternity depends, but it will be an eternity of everlasting happiness. From Jesus of Nazareth, the Infancy Narratives by Benedict XVI. Matthew ends his short account of the slaughter of the innocents, which follows the flight into Egypt, with another prophetic text, this time taken from Jeremiah. A voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are not. Jeremiah situates these words in the context of a prophecy filled with hope and joy, in which the prophet confidently announces the restoration of Israel. He who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock, for the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. The entire chapter probably dates from the early period of Jeremiah's work, when on the one hand the decline of the Assyrian Empire and the other the cultic reforms of King Josiah had revived hopes for a restoration of the northern kingdom of Israel, a territory populated largely by the tribes of Joseph and Benjamin, the children of Rachel. In Jeremiah's text then, immediately after the lament of the mother of those tribes, there is a word of consolation. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy.